Hello, we are here today to record the podcast of a new paper in the Lancet Infectious Diseases. My name is Marco D'Ambrogino, a senior editor for the journal. And the title of the paper that we are discussing today is Early Safety and Efficacy of the Combination of Bedaquiline and Elamanid for the Treatment of Patients with Drug-Resistant Tuberculosis in Armenia, India and South Africa, a retrospective cohort study. We're lucky today to have one of the authors of the paper with us, and it is Dr. Amir Shroufi. Dr. Shroufi, thank you for being with us, and would you just like to introduce yourself to our audience?
Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today. My name is Amir Shroufi. I'm the medical coordinator for Doctors Without Borders in South Africa.
So let's start to tackle the topic of the study. The study is about tuberculosis, and maybe we can introduce multidrug-resistant tuberculosis and extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis and what challenges they pose for clinicians and patients, of course. So can you tell us a bit more about this, please?
So MDR-TB, or multi-drug-resistant tuberculosis, is tuberculosis that's resistant to two of the most powerful drugs that we have for treating TB, isoniazid and rifampicin. XDR-TB, or extensively drug-resistant tuberculosis, additionally has resistance to two additional classes of drugs, the fluoroquinolones, such as vifloxacin or moxifloxacin, and at least to one of the injectable drugs, amikacin, capreomycin, or kanamycin. So it is challenging for clinicians because already limited treatment options are limited further. The treatments have to be given for a long time, and the drugs that we have to use instead of the drugs we would normally use are particularly toxic. As a result of this, many people never actually finish their treatment, and this leads to the treatment success in MDR-TB being low. And in the kind of settings where we work, we see levels of treatment success in the region of about 50%.
Yes, it's a very serious challenge for the patients. And then the world of TBD hasn't seen many new drugs in the past 50 years, but bedaquiline and elamanid that had been sort of developed in recent years represent a sort of a hopeful addition to the arsenal of drugs that are available. Can you tell a bit more about these two drugs?
You know, as you say, delamidin and bedaquiline are the first new classes of drugs licensed for the treatment of TB in over 40 years. They're both oral medicines, and they have the potential to contribute to new all-oral regimens. I mean, this is important because one of the big issues we have with the existing regimens around tolerability is the injectable component, which these are injections that are sore, they're difficult for patients to take, and they contribute to losses from programs, patient losses to follow-up. Now, bedaquiline has been approved by the FDA since 2012, delamidin by the European Medicines Agency since 2014. We have a little bit more experience with bedaquiline than we do so far with delamidin. We initially, as MSF, started using delamidin on a sort of exceptional case basis, but it is now slowly beginning to find its way into the national program here in South Africa. The access to delamidin, both here in South Africa as well as around the rest of the world, remains much less, much more difficult. The drug remains expensive, and there's also issues around the registration of both drugs. So not all the countries where people would benefit from these drugs are they registered, and indeed delamidin has yet to be registered for use here in South Africa where we work.
Absolutely. We have heard there are big hopes about these drugs, although the availability at the moment and even the information that we have about these drugs is still limited. And so your study that we will describe just a bit later tackles the topic of combining these two drugs together. But there are some safety issues, or at least hypothetical concerns, of using these two drugs together. So you can tell us a bit more about that and maybe what is the WHO position, or if there is a position.
One of the concerns about bedaquiline and delamidin, and particularly about the use of the two drugs in combination together, is that each of them is said to have the side effect of moderately prolonging the QT interval of the heart cycle. Now, the theoretical risk is that, therefore, when using the drugs together, that they may produce a prolongation of the duty interval sufficient to cause dangerous tachyarrhythmias of the heart. Now, the data actually that we've had so far, both from Otsuka's phase 3 trial results, which were published at the end of last year, and from the results which we publish in this study, are actually very reassuring in terms of QT prolongation. We don't find here any very concerning prolongation or any prolongation that led to cardiac abnormalities. And indeed, in the Otsuka study, there was, in fact, no difference in QT prolongation between the placebo arms and those receiving the drugs. In terms of the position of the WHO, the formal position of the WHO at the moment is that they don't feel there's sufficient evidence basis to provide advice on the use of bedaquiline and delaminid in combination. Now, we hope that that's something that will change in the future as more evidence begins to come out, but that's the position that they take at present.
And just to add on that, we know that there are two ongoing trials on the combination delaminid and bedaquiline. But as you say, even in the article, those results will only be available in 3-5 years, which in a way make even more important making public the results of your study that give a first indication of the safety and even efficacy of the combination, if I'm not wrong.
That's absolutely right. You know, the field of treating drug-resistant TB is a very difficult one for a number of reasons. I mean, one reason is that actually a lot of what's done in the management of drug-resistant TB isn't actually based on the kind of gold standard evidence that we usually have in other fields of medicine, randomized controlled trials. And for patients with complex resistance profiles who are resistant to many drugs, it's often difficult to build a regimen. Usually we want 4 or more effective drugs in a regimen for it to be effective, and we often just can't do that. So we say rather, let's try and take the drugs that are available rather than wait for the trial evidence to come, which, as you correctly point out, will take quite some years. There is a trial which has just started towards the end of last year that we as MSF are involved in called NTB, which should be able to bring good evidence to bear on the use of bedaquiline and delaminid in combination. For now, the evidence we have or the experience we have is more programmatic, and it's the kind of experience shown here in this paper, which is also very positive, particularly when we bear in mind some of those considerations about the limited options that the patients we're dealing with here have, and also the limited evidence in terms of what else one might do were one not to use these new drugs.
Absolutely, and I'm also pleased to mention that one of the added value of this study, as you sort of anticipated, is this data that are presented in the article are based on the field, on experience in the field, and we are talking about patients with very limited options, patients that might need a sort of individualized regimen because, of course, the resistance is different in every patient and it may change over time. And so since it is also quite an exceptional chance for us to publish a paper from Doctors Without Borders, maybe you can just briefly tell us a bit more of your work in the 3 different countries, very briefly, where the study was done, which are India, Armenia, and of course South Africa, where you're based.
In both Armenia and South Africa, MSF is supporting national TB programs in the management of patients with drug-resistant tuberculosis, particularly around supporting access to some of the new drugs for people living with drug-resistant TB, bedaquiline and delaminid. In India, the model is slightly different. We support a private clinic within Mumbai. Because of some of the concerns that we've spoken about already in relation to these drugs, we have a strong system of pharmacovigilance in the sites where we monitor closely all the patients and have strict reporting requirements around any serious adverse events that do come up. These are programs really where we're trying to support, among some of the poorest people living in those countries, access to new drugs and effective treatments for drug-resistant tuberculosis.
Absolutely. And maybe our audience will be pleased that Now, we can describe a bit more the aim of the study, and what were the results, and what the study tell us.
Yeah, absolutely. The aim of this study was just to provide early safety and efficacy data from patients within those settings treated with both dalamidin and bedaquiline as part of their treatment regimen for MGRTB. It was a retrospective cohort study, and so what we did was we basically looked back in time at patients in those places who had been managed, as you said previously, programmatically. These are not people who had been enrolled in a clinical trial. They were people who we were basically supporting the care of in a more sort of routine fashion, if you like. So that has some sort of pragmatic advantages, because these are not, you know, patients that have been, highly selected to go into a trial, and the conditions under which the patients are managed are conditions that one can expect to, you know, feasibly be delivered within a public health system. They're not at the level of a trial, you know, within which the conditions sometimes are so closely supervised and so heavily resourced that it's not often possible to replicate those conditions in a more sort of routine program setting. In terms of the results of the trial, they are positive. The early efficacy results were very promising. We had about 3/4 of the patients showing culture conversion at 6 months. So that's going from being culture positive to having the disease in your sputum at the beginning of treatment to at 6 months no longer having identifiable tuberculosis in the sputum. So that's a reassuring and a positive finding. And I think the other positive finding, which we've already spoken a little bit about, is around safety. So the combination was safer actually than we anticipated. And as we've said, although there were a few patients who had slight prolongation of the QT period, that measure of the heart cycle that is potentially quite dangerous if prolonged, there wasn't any significant prolongation such that it led to serious sort of cardiac arrhythmias or cardiac problems. So from both an efficacy and a safety viewpoint, the results really are quite promising. We should really acknowledge some of the limitations of the study, which is a small study. It's only 28 patients that we report results on. That said, there is so little data available on the use of bedaquiline and dalamidin in combination that it is nevertheless significant.
Absolutely. This first data, of course, will need to be validated in larger cohorts, but it is a first sign, and these results give us hope that these two drugs can be used in combination with careful monitoring, of course, of the ECG. My final question would be looking a bit more towards the future. What do you think are the implications in the longer term, or at least some of the recommendations? As we said, these are early results, so we will need more data. But from your results, what you would recommend?
Given the limited current treatment options for people with multidrug-resistant TB, we as MSF would call on all countries affected to basically try to ensure as soon as possible the registration of both bedaquiline and dalamidin, and to produce guidelines for their use and to ensure systems whereby patients can get access to these drugs. For clinicians who might be listening, we would encourage them to explore the use of these drugs and also to consider the use of the drugs in combination, which we do feel, you know, to be safe. And a lot of the concerns on safety are not, you know, proving to be particularly well-founded. And in particular, for patients